Let's read together Isaiah chapter 3. In this chapter, Jerusalem and Judah are denounced for their rebellion against the Lord, and the consequences of this rebellion are given in no uncertain terms. These same consequences take place today when any society rebels against the Lord. Let's begin reading verses 1 through 8. Isaiah chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts, takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stock and the store, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet, and the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, the counselor and the skillful artisan, and the expert enchanter. I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. The people will be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child will be insolent toward the elder, and the base toward the honorable. When a man takes hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, "You have clothing, you be our ruler, and let these ruins be under your power." In that day he will protest, saying, "I cannot cure your ills, for in my house is neither food nor clothing. Do not make me a ruler of the people." For Jerusalem stumbled and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. Let's begin our study of this chapter now with some background notes. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 12, we read about the coming day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is mentioned a number of times throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. We said that in general, the term day of the Lord, as used in the Old Testament, is any time that the Lord intervenes in the affairs of nations. It could be for blessing or for judgment. We saw in the second half of Isaiah chapter 2 that it was for judgment. We also mentioned that there is both an historical or past aspect to the day of the Lord, as well as an eschatological or future aspect to the day of the Lord. We saw in Isaiah chapter 2 that the judgment of the day of the Lord was primarily eschatological. That is, what was primarily in view was the judgment of the future tribulation period, which would come upon the whole earth. The end of verse 19 of chapter 2 once again. When the Lord arises to shake the earth mightily, and the end of verse 21, when the Lord arises to shake the earth mightily. Now here in chapter 3, the judgment of the day of the Lord continues, but now it is primarily the historical aspect of the day of the Lord that's in view. Specifically, when the Lord allowed the Babylonian forces under Nebuchadnezzar in the 6th century BC to sweep in and conquer Judah and Jerusalem because of the nation's rebellion against the Lord. The Old Testament prophets, and especially Isaiah, are known for moving back and forth between the historical and the eschatological. That is, between the near future fulfillment of prophecy and the far future or end time fulfillment of prophecy. Here in Isaiah chapter 3, it is the near future fulfillment of prophecy that's in view. Already the threat of invasion by the Assyrians is at the doorstep. And the coming invasion of the Babylonians is down the road for sure. Here in Isaiah chapter 3, we see how rebellion against the Lord affects society. These consequences of rebellion were not only the results in Isaiah's day, but will be the result in the future day of the Lord as well, and certainly can be applied to our own day, as we'll see. And certainly more we could give for background, but let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points. Doctrine point number one, when people rebel against the Lord, there is a breakdown of society. When people rebel against the Lord, there is a breakdown of society. Verses 1 through 8. In these verses, we see that there would be a complete breakdown in society when God allowed the Babylonian army under Nebuchadnezzar to sweep in and besiege Jerusalem. The normal food supply would be cut off. Verse 1. The nation's defenses would be decimated, verse 2. The civil courts would no longer be operational, verse 2. The religious leaders would be removed, verse 2. The military commanders would be gone, verse 3. The skilled workers and craftsmen would be out of business, verse 3. Now, the fact that the diviners and enchanters are included in Isaiah's list does not mean that Isaiah condoned these practices. No. He is emphasizing that what the nation was wrongly depending on for security would be removed. In place of the normal functioning of society, inexperienced and helpless boys and children would be in leadership positions. Verse 4. There would be oppression and anarchy and disrespect for authority. Verse 5. People would try to grab anyone and set up some kind of local government, but no one would be willing to take on such responsibility. Verses 7 and 8. There would be complete chaos and devastation. Why? The bottom line is given in verse 8. For Jerusalem stumbled and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord. When people rebel against the Lord, society breaks down. Now, does this description of the breakdown of society sound familiar? Look around you. This is the direction our own nation is heading. Disrespect for authority, corruption in the courts, dysfunctional families, departure from biblical standards, even in the church, loss of moral leadership. When people rebel against the Lord, there is the breakdown of society. Doctrinal point number 2. When people rebel against the Lord, there is the judgment of society. When people rebel against the Lord, there is the judgment of society. Verses 9 through 15. The look on their countenance witnesses against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to their soul, for they have brought evil upon themselves. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. The Lord stands up to plead and stands to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people and his princes. For you have eaten up the vineyard. The plunder of the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the faces of the poor, says the Lord God of hosts? God would have to judge his people because of their rebellion. Two woes are pronounced here upon Judah and Jerusalem. One in verse 9 and one in verse 11. The people will reap what they have sown. Notice that their sins are not just idolatry and immorality, as in the case of Sodom, verse 9, but also the social sins of crushing the poor and needy, verses 14 and 15. Again, we see the application of all of this for our own country today. Certainly, our nation is guilty of these same sexual and social sins, and God will judge our society as a result. Now, verse 10 is a note of hope between the two woes of judgment. Look at verse 10 once again. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Just as the wicked will reap what they sow, so will the righteous reap what they sow. Verse 12 is not a put down on women, but again, it's a description of the consequences that would prevail with the removal of male leadership when the Babylonians would conquer Judah. Women would rule over the people who were left because of the decimation of the male population. The Lord's judgment was especially upon the leaders who had led his people astray. Verse 14. You know, those who take on leadership roles today in the Lord's vineyard and lead people astray or hurt them in some way will be judged. Illustration. I know a man who almost single-handedly destroyed a church because of his pride and ruthless authority. I would not want to be in his shoes at the judgment seat of Christ. Rebellion against the Lord's authority in any way and at any level must be judged. When people rebel against the Lord, there is the judgment of society. And doctrinal point number 3, when people rebel against the Lord, there is the humbling of society. When people rebel against the Lord, there is the humbling of society. Verses 16 through 26. Moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a jingling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will strike with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will uncover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the finery, the jingling anklets, the scarves, and the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets, and the veils, the headdresses, the leg ornaments, and the headbands, the perfume boxes, the charms, and the rings, the nose jewels, the festive apparel, and the mantles, the outer garments, the purses, and the mirrors, the fine linen, the turbans, and their robes. And so it shall be, instead of a sweet smell, there will be a stench, instead of a sash, a rope, instead of well-set hair, baldness, instead of a rich robe, a girding of sackcloth, and branding instead of beauty. Your men shall fall by the sword, and your mighty in the war. Her gate shall lament and mourn, and she, being desolate, shall sit on the ground. When the Babylonian forces under Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem in 587 BC, all of the conditions described here literally took place. The siege of Jerusalem lasted over a year, and there was a great humbling of society. People starved to death. We know from Jeremiah and Lamentations that the society even stooped to the low of cannibalism at that time. The fashionable women, with all their luxurious wardrobes and expensive jewelry, and those with seductive and alluring ways of dressing and walking around, would be humbled as they were stripped of their wealth and became destitute. During the time of siege, they would develop putrid skin diseases, and their hair would fall out. It's pretty hard to be proud under these conditions. Verse 24 is a literal description of the humbling conditions of the society as the captives were being led away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Verse 24, "And so it shall be. Instead of a sweet smell, there will be a stench. Instead of a sash, a rope. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. Instead of a rich robe, a girding of sackcloth, and branding instead of beauty." When people rebel against the Lord, there is a humbling of society. Now, what about practical application from Isaiah chapter 3? Let's humble ourselves or be humble. Let's humble ourselves or be humble. Our third doctrinal point certainly has a personal application, doesn't it? If we rebel against the Lord, we will be humbled. If we don't humble ourselves, the Lord must humble us. Listen to the familiar words of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. Let me ask you, do you want to be exalted? Well, here's a promise from God's word without any exceptions. Humble yourself, and God will exalt you. The converse is also true. Exalt yourself, and God will humble you. Let's humble ourselves or be humble.